All right, well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first day of System Center Universe 2014 Europe. It's a pleasure being here, and thank you all for coming and attending. It's my first time at this event here in Europe. I've done the previous 3 years in the United States in Austin, Dallas, and Houston, and it's been a great event, so glad I was able to make it here. My name is Wally Mead. I'm a program manager with Cyrison. And I've been with Cyrison for just a few months now, came from Microsoft, where I'd spent 22 years at Microsoft in the Configuration Manager product group. So I'm pretty familiar with the product. So as you can see at the very bottom, I have recently just joined the Twitter world. So I don't do a whole lot with it yet, so don't expect a whole lot. But I was asked to go ahead and join there. So anyway, what our topic of this morning is I've got a two-part series that we'll be going through. The original name was Leaving the Dark Ages, trying to get people up to the current version of Configuration Manager 2012, which is the R2 release. And the reason I wanted to do this two-part series is that as part of my work at Microsoft and all the conferences I've done, as well as being in the community and helping in the forums and talking to people at conferences, I'm finding a lot of people are still not on the latest release of the software. So they're still running the Service Pack 1 release of ConfigMan 2012. Or in tomorrow's presentation, I'm going to be showing you how to move from ConfigMan 2007 to ConfigMan 2012. So I still see a lot of people that are out there in those old versions. So this is a two-part series. Part one is, if you're on ConfigMan 2012, how do you get to the latest release? And then tomorrow's will be, how do you move from 2007 to 2012? Now, with that said, you guys might already be on the R2 release, which is the current version of the product. And that's fine. You're still going to learn things in this presentation that will help you out in upgrading to the next release of Configuration Manager that Microsoft will have coming out. I'm assuming they're going to have one coming out. When I was still with the product group earlier this year, there were plans on having another version of Configuration Manager 2012 coming out sometime next year. In 2015, and when I was there, the discussions were looking like it was going to be a minor release upgrade, like we would cover here. So all the things I'll cover in this presentation will still benefit you going from the R2 release to the, I don't know, R3 or whatever they're going to call it, XP2, whatever it happens to be. And then tomorrow's presentation on migration, even though I'm going to specifically talk about and demonstrate migrating from 2007 to 2012, it's also still very applicable if you want to do migration from 2012 to 2012. For example, you have a lab environment set up, you want to do your preparation of your objects in your lab environment, you can then migrate them from lab over to production without having to recreate them or having to go through that, I'll say, hokey export and import process that ConfigMan has in it that somewhat covers all the different features, but not really. So it's still very beneficial from there. Or if you want to collapse sites down into a new hierarchy or go from a hierarchy down to a standalone primary or whatever, that's still beneficial. So anyway, what we want to cover today is, first off, verifying that your existing environment is ready to do the upgrade to ConfigMan 2012 R2 in our environment. So a couple things I'll show you there. And then I'm going to walk you through the upgrade process. And there's a number of things I'm going to show you, and I'll pretty well guarantee that there are going to be some things in there that some of you have never done before. And they're very, very valuable things that you do want to get in the habit of doing when you're preparing for your upgrades and going through the process. So we'll walk you through that preparation process and then through the upgrade process. Once we've done our upgrade, we'll show you how to verify that upgrade completed successfully. Because there's a number of things that I've seen with working from the customers when I was at Microsoft, as well as up on forums, that I've seen customers having struggles with this in an upgrade process. So how do you verify that your upgrade really did work successfully? Then we'll talk about upgrading clients, so getting your clients up there, and there are a number of different ways of doing so. I'll show you a couple of different ways of upgrading clients. We'll talk about cumulative upgrades and the process of getting you up to the current version of that, and then we'll go ahead and get you guys current. So a couple of things to start off with. Infrastructure changes. There are a couple of changes that were made to the infrastructure in ConfigMan 2012 R2 that you need to be aware of if you're still on the Service Pack 1 platform. So distribution point role, or all the roles now work on and are supported on Windows Server 2012 R2, And then the distribution point role is also supported on Windows 8.1. So support was provided for the new operating systems for Microsoft for all the different site system roles. So site server, database server, your management points, whatever, they can all fit on Windows Server 2012 R2. SQL Server updates. This top bullet on SQL Server updates is not going to be applicable in an upgrade scenario. Because in an upgrade scenario, you're going to use the exact same SQL Server computer as well as database that you had in your current environment. But if you're standing up a brand new ConfigMan 2012 R2 environment, setup will now prompt you as to the location of your database as well as your transaction log. In prior releases, we just asked you for the name of the database, and then we go ahead and create those in the default location of wherever SQL Server was installed. And then you would either have to pre-create the database and transaction log if you wanted to control where they were installed, or after the fact, you go ahead and move them through SQL tools, because ConfigMan wouldn't care. It just calls the database name and transaction log. So, but now you'll be prompted during setup. You won't see that today, because we're not doing a clean install. We're doing an upgrade scenario, so it's not going to prompt you for those. But the other thing that's important for you is that now during a recovery operation, you are allowed to recover to a different SQL Server computer and instance if you wish. In prior releases of ConfigMan, if you were running on SQL 2008 R2 and you had to do a site recovery process, you had to restore to the exact same computer name, the exact same version of SQL, the exact same named instance, and so on. But it meant you had to recreate that SQL Server computer if that's the one that was failing. Now, if your SQL Server is what fails and you already have another SQL Server running, you can just recover to that different SQL Server computer and instance. It does have to be the same version of SQL Server. So you can't recover from a site running on SQL 2008 R2 to a database server running SQL 2012, for example. But it does give you that flexibility not having to recreate that exact same computer. There's one new site system role in the R2 release. That's a certificate registration point. And that's utilized if you want to implement mobile devices, which Nico is actually going to talk about in the next session in the next room over, if you want to manage certificates through simple certificate enrollment protocol. There's a new site system role, the certificate registration point that's used for that. No site system roles were removed in the R2 release. So what you have today in SP1 is all still going to be valid for you in the R2 release. Okay, so in your preparation process, if you need to install a brand new R2 environment, you can go ahead and install a CAS, you can install a primary site from the media, you can go ahead and install your secondary sites from the admin console just like you were before. So that's all fine. You can install a brand new environment if you wish to. I have some customers that don't like doing upgrades. They always do a wipe and load. So they always start clean. Now, going from 2007 to 2012, I can see that. Going from 2012 RTM to SP1 or SP1 to R2, I certainly wouldn't do that. It's a big waste of time. You can migrate from the ConfigMan 2007 Service Pack 2, which is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. So you do have that migration. There's no migration from any other release of ConfigMan 2012. You can't migrate from ConfigMan 2012 RTM or SP1 to R2, only from 2007 SP2 to 2012 R2, or from 2012 R2 to 2012 R2. You can do migration. That's that lab to production scenario that I referenced earlier. And then what we're going to concentrate in this presentation is the bottom option, which is doing an in-place upgrade. The easiest, most efficient solution you have to get to the current release of the product is by doing an in-place upgrade. No upgrade from any other version. So you can't upgrade from 2007. You can't upgrade from 2012 RTM. You can only upgrade from 2012 SP1. All right, in preparation of upgrade, Configuration Manager itself doesn't care what the existing version of the cumulative update is installed on your existing Service Pack 1 site. Don't care if it's RTM, in other words, no cumulative update, or 1, 2, or 3 there. We don't care at all. With that said, there is one caveat if you are using multicast on your distribution points. So in your 2012 SP1 environment, if you are using multicast for your distribution points for operating system deployment, it's highly recommended to have that your SP1 site running at least CU3 prior to your upgrade. there's a bug that was fixed in CU3 that will allow your multicast DPs to be able to be upgraded successfully when you upgrade to R2. If you don't implement our CU3 or CU4 prior to your upgrade to R2, then your DPs with multicast feature won't work properly and you have to basically recreate them. Okay, then you have to manually uninstall the current version of the Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit, which is for Windows 8, prior to the upgrade process. Configuration Manager, as a product group, we weren't allowed to automatically deinstall the old Wake and install the new Wake, nor is there a supported upgrade process from the Wake for, or excuse me, the ADK, sorry, from the Wake from the old stuff to the current version of the product. There's no upgrade either from the ADK 8 to the ADK 8.1. That's a Windows team decision. It was not a Configuration Manager team decision. From our perspective, and I say our, back when I was with the product group, we wanted this to be as easy as possible. But the Windows team would not allow us to do the uninstall and reinstall, and they don't have an upgrade. So you guys have to manually uninstall the old ADK for Windows 8. Oops, I guess I pressed the button. I know what I was doing. I wanted to go ahead and kick off some of the stuff now to show you demo, and then come back and do the next portion. So here's my demo environment. It is running the Service Pack 1 release. We can tell that by looking at the build number. The build number says 7804, which is the build number for Service Pack 1. So that's the only thing I wanted to show you in the console. I have already downloaded, okay, there it goes. It's just a little slow. The R2 code. So I've downloaded the R2 code. It's sitting here. What I always would recommend doing is going to a command prompt, go to your download location. Oops. Config man, SMS setup, bin, and then x64. And then I run a prereq check from command prompt. You got to be able to type, though. And I would blame this on the keyboard, but it's my laptop, so can't blame it on the keyboard. So you run a prereq check from command prompt. The setup process is going to do this for you automatically. However, I recommend doing so from a command prompt. When you run it from command prompt on existing site server, it goes into upgrade mode automatically. And the reason I would do this from command prompt ahead of running it through setup is sometimes you might be missing some OS components that would necessitate a reboot of your server. And you don't want to walk all the way through the setup program, get the prereq check, find out you have to install something that requires a reboot, and then have to start a setup all over again. So just run it from a command prompt. And here you can see I have 5 issues in my environment. 3 of those are errors, and then 2 of those are warnings. The warnings will not prevent me from upgrading. Those two warnings won't. The 3 errors will prevent me from running, doing the upgrade. And it says I don't have basically ADK installed. But if I go to Control Panel and go to Uninstall a Program and look at my programs that are installed, here's the ADK. And I do have the ADK installed. However, if you look at the version, it's 8.59, which is the Windows 8 version of the ADK, which was appropriate and required for Service Pack 1. However, for R2, that version of the ADK is not supported. So you have to select that ADK, you have to uninstall it. Luckily, it's a very quick uninstall process. So even though I have the ADK installed, the prereq checker flags it as not being installed because it's the wrong version of the ADK. So you have to manually uninstall the ADK, and while that's happening, then what you have to do is manually download and install the current version of the ADK, which currently it's the ADK for Windows 8.1. Again, there's no automated upgrade process for the ADK. It's a manual process. You uninstall the old one like I'm doing. You download and install the new version of the ADK. There's 3 components that ConfigMan requires, and I'll show you those in the setup in just a second here. Once you've done that, the rest of your OS components are all the same. You don't have to modify anything in your OS. If your site server was successfully working on ConfigMan 2012 SP1, the exact same SQL Server versions, OS versions, requirements, components, those are all the same. The only thing you have to change from SP1 to R2 is the version of the ADK. If you want to change your OS, that's fine. If you want to change SQL Server, it supports SQL 2014, but you don't have to. Okay, so now let's go back here. Our uninstall is complete. The ADK is now gone. I then have to manually install the ADK for Windows 8.1, which I have already downloaded. So I'll go here, I'll run ADK setup. It's a fairly quick setup again. So I'll click next. I'm not gonna worry about the CEIP, or accept the license agreement. Now there's 8 different components here. ConfigMan only requires 3 of those. We don't need the ACT, don't need SQL Server Express, Windows Assessment Services, or the Performance Toolkit, or the Volume Activation Management Toolkit. What ConfigMan needs are these 3, which are actually the ones that the prereq checker flagged for us. Deployment Tools, USMT, and then WinPE. So select those 3 components. You can install the other ones if you want to. It's not gonna bother Config Manager. Config Manager is not gonna use them. So you would go ahead and install these components, those 3 components, others if you need them. Let that install. Now, traditionally, when you're running ADK setup, you're going to run ADK setup from the web, and then it's going to install interactively from the web. I downloaded everything to my local computer from the web so that I can install locally. And you do an install for another computer, as it's called, with the ADK setup. So that's fine, or you can do it from the web, either way. So you'll run the ADK setup and for Windows 8.1. Once you've done that, then you go back to your prereq checker and you'll rerun the prereq checker. So while we're waiting, let me just talk about here for a second. The 2 warnings here in the middle do not prevent me from doing my upgrade, and you may see these when you do a clean install as well. They're SQL Server memory configuration issues. The first one is saying that I don't have SQL Server memory configured properly, and the second one is I don't have the base memory configured. So the top one says I've got SQL Server configured for unlimited memory growth, which is not a recommended best practice when you're co-locating SQL Server with Config Manager, which I'm doing. Because SQL Server tends to expand its memory utilization, and it can consume all the memory in the box, not leaving enough for Config Manager. So it's recommended if you're co-locating, which the vast majority of people do, to set SQL Server with a maximum memory limit of something around 70 to 75% of your box's memory. On the top end, you can go less than that, but that's the top end, and leave the rest for the OS and Config Manager. The second one tells me they don't have SQL Server configured for a minimum of 8 gigabytes of memory. I'm on a VM that's only got 4 gig total, I think maybe 6, so I certainly can't give it 8 gig total. So what Config Manager really recommends is 8 gig is the minimum or the starting point for SQL memory, and your max memory is about 70 to 75% of the memory in your box. And I'm not configured that way. Okay, the ADK setup should be done by now. It is. I'll click close. If I go back to control panel and uninstall program, and now if I go and do my refresh here, I should have the ADK. Now it goes to the bottom because they put Windows in front of it. So Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit for Windows 8.1. So it gives you a more descriptive name, and you can see the version is 8.100 as opposed to 8.59. I'm good there, so now if I go ahead and do my run check, those 3 warnings, or those 3 errors will go away from the ADK not being there. So I'll just have those 2 SQL Server memory warnings that will appear here. And by now you would have seen at least one, if not all 3 of the ADK component issues that we had before. Okay, so while that's happening, before you start your upgrade, a few things you do. One, and the very most important thing, is backup. You always do a backup of your site before you do anything dramatic to your site. And I would consider an upgrade to be a very drastic process you're going to implement on your site. So always make sure you have a complete backup of your site. So whether it's the backup Config Manager site task, the site maintenance task built in, or just a SQL Server backup, always make sure you have one. Then you want to do a database upgrade test. And this is where I see a lot of people are not familiar with the database upgrade process. You really want to back up your database, take your database to a different SQL Server computer than your site server is using, create a brand new database, restore your site server backed up database into this brand new database on this different SQL Server, and validate that your database can be upgraded successfully to ConfigMan 2012 R2 in our case. The reason you do this is Actually, one of my TAP customers ran into this three different times at Microsoft before we had this process. They tried to do an upgrade of their site, and it failed because the database couldn't be upgraded. They had added custom data to the database, and Configuration Manager could not upgrade or process that custom data. So the upgrade failed. So now they had a site that was one version and a database that was half a different version. So they got to experience the recovery process of a Config Manager site. And actually, this was SMS 2003, but same thing. And then it happened, so they removed that, restored their database, removed that custom data, upgrade worked successfully. They then re-added that custom data, and on the next database upgrade, it failed again when we tried to upgrade the site. So then the product group, we got them to add this database test check-in here. This will verify that your database can successfully be upgraded without you having to learn how to do a recovery process. So I'll show you that in just a second. I then tell you to do a manual prereq check, and I'm doing this out of order just because of the timing of the demos that I need to do. So you would then do your prereq check from your media from a command prompt to verify your upgrade process. And again, if you're successfully running on SP1 today, the upgrade prereq check test should come back pretty clean, other than maybe those SQL Server things. Because again, it's going to use the same stuff that you already had. Then you go ahead and run the upgrade process from your installation media. So run splash.hta, that will kick off your upgrade process. You'll see that setup is not going to ask you nearly as many actions or options because of the fact that you're in an upgrade scenario as opposed to a clean install. It is going to go ahead and uninstall your existing site server, basically, and then reinstall it with new version of the software. Again, in our case, uninstalling SP1 and reinstalling it with R2. How long it could take, I'll talk about here in just a second. Let's go ahead and jump into the demo to get that started. So here we can see our prereq check came back. It was clean. So I'll go ahead and click OK. And we'll go ahead and close our command prompt window. We don't need that anymore. And before I kick off this upgrade process, let me show you how you would do a database test. So go back to your command prompt. Actually, I thought about it. I should have stayed in that same location. Configman, SMS setup, bin, x64. And then you run setup. And I'll zoom in here so you can see this better. Test DB upgrade. And then your backup database name. So in my case, I would run setup. And the switch is /testdbupgrade, and then the name of the database you want to upgrade. This will not work on my site server because we won't let you upgrade your production site database on your SQL servers hosting that production site database. So this would have to be a backup copy of my site database that I've restored on a different SQL Server computer. Then I run this test process. And this is actually going to upgrade this database that I specify here to the current version of the software, whatever version setup is running, and this would be the R2 version. So it is going to upgrade that database. Obviously, it's a test scenario, and if it upgrades successfully in test, then you know that your database can be upgraded by this process. You know your site can be upgraded by the prereq checker. So now you have a great confidence that your site can be successfully upgraded. So go ahead and do this first. So backup, run this command. Then do your manual prereq check. Then you're ready to go ahead and kick off your setup and upgrade your site. So we'll go ahead and kick off our install. You see it's the R2 version. When I launch this off, I'm not going to have as many options on my setup screen as you would normally have. And hopefully I clicked, there we go, okay. You don't have the option for installing. You see that option of installing a primary site or installing a CAS. Those are grayed out because I'm on an existing site server, so I can't do a clean install. So I have the option here of doing a recovery, uninstalling, which you don't want you to have to do either of those two, or do the upgrade. I'm going to choose the upgrade option. I'm not going to type my product key in front of all you guys. I'm going to do the evaluation version, the exact same version. I'm going from a licensed version to an eval version that's supported, and I can go from an eval version to a licensed version that's all supported as well. I'll accept the license agreements for the core product. I'll accept the license agreements for the supplemental products that we have as well. There are new prerequisite downloads for secondary sites as well as clients. You can go ahead and install them or download them interactively. I've already downloaded them on my site server and put them in my install directory, redist. So we'll go through the process of verifying those components. That should just take 30 seconds to a minute and should be all verified. Now, my VM, sometimes it takes a moment longer to do that verification. So while this is doing its work here, now the length of time this upgrade is going to take is going to vary depending upon the size of your site. Most of the Microsoft customers that are running Configuration Manager are in the under 15,000 clients. So the vast majority of the Microsoft customers are below 15,000 clients, in the 5 to 15,000 client range. You guys may be smaller than that, you may be larger than that, you may fit right in that bucket. But from my experience working with my TAP customers on an upgrade process, I upgraded one of my customers that had a total of 13,000 clients split across two different primary sites. And no, you don't need two primary sites in a CAS for 13,000 clients. We had that in our TAP environment specifically because they were going to go global with the entire product, which is going to be more than one primary site. They have 170,000 clients they're going to be managing. So they had to get familiar with the hierarchy because in ConfigMan 2007, they were all individual standalone primary sites. So they did not have a hierarchy at all. So they just weren't familiar with what a hierarchy was. So in the TAP environment, we made them a CAS and two primaries, and the 13,000 clients were just about split between the two sites. The first site, or the CAS, took about 3 hours to upgrade for that 13,000 clients. That's a whole lot. It should not take that long. The two individual primary sites took about half that time. And no, a CAS shouldn't take twice as long as the primary site should. It just, the CAS was running in a virtual machine that was really underpowered. The primary sites were running on much better hardware, so they were a lot more efficient hardware. So your upgrade process could take you anywhere. In my lab here, in this demo, it's gonna take 45 minutes. So it's not certainly gonna finish before we're done here. It might take you an hour and a half, something like that. But plan for that. So it asks you for server languages, asks you for client languages. It says we're going to do an upgrade. It does kick off the prereq checker again. So we'll see those same things we saw when we ran it manually, which is going to be the two SQL Server memory configuration issues. But again, running it now, I already have confidence that I know what the response is going to be because I already ran it in the manual process from the command prompt. So I'm just going to have these two issues. Now I don't have to go back out there and uninstall the ADK8. Install the ADK.1. Now, that doesn't require a reboot, so it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, but we're good. Okay, so we got two warnings. I click Begin Install, and now the upgrade process kicks off. Now, I'm going to leave this running for a moment just so I can show you something, and then I'm actually going to kill these VMs and start up some VMs for my site that upgraded yesterday in Amsterdam when I was waiting for my airplane here. Did the upgrade of the site. So this screen that you guys have all seen before lies to you. Eventually, this is going to come up here. It's going to say, where it says overall progress, it's going to say core setup has completed. And it really hasn't. So don't believe this when it tells you core setup is completed. So it's going to go from overall progress, and it's going to show you a whole bunch of actions that are either in progress or have completed. Like this case, backing up files for upgrade is completed. So it's working on the next one of downloading files or whatever it is. It'll show me in a second. And this timer is going to stop as well. Now, in this case, it stopped because I zoomed in. But it's going to go ahead and keep counting, and it's eventually going to stop. In my case, it usually stops around 22 minutes, 32 minutes. I guess 32 minutes. It usually stops the counter. But the actual upgrade process isn't complete yet. It takes another 10 minutes on my VM here before upgrade's really done. And what you want to do is, I'm waiting for the next action to show up, so I can show you what it looks like. You'll get a bunch of icons in here for actions that'll have these like blue arrows kind of in a triangle or an oval pointing at each other. And those are in progress actions. Those in progress actions, what'll happen is, again, this will say core setup is completed, your timer will stop, but you'll have a number of these actions that still have those in progress icons on them. That's indicating to you that even though core setup has stopped monitoring the process, so the counter's done, the next button or close button becomes available, and you can close out your setup program, you can start the console, Don't do that. Wait until every single one of those actions changes to this icon here, this green and white icon. So you'll have a couple dozen actions in here. Wait till they all change to that. Even though core setup's completed, those are still in progress, and we'll monitor those, and we'll change those icons to show you that they're complete when they really are completed. And if it's not going to, going slower here, it must not like your Swiss power. Usually runs faster than this. I was waiting for the next one just so I can share that next icon, but I may have to just kill this and just boot up my other images. I can't boot the other images up at the same time because it's the same actual image, just different snapshots. So I wanted to show you the next icon, but well, I think you guys have all seen this before, and you'll have these icons in there that'll say in progress or show you the in progress icon and whatever the action is. Just wait, even though core setup is completed, the timer stopped, and your close button becomes available. Don't close this setup program until every single one of your actions goes to complete, the green circle with the white check mark in it. Okay, with that, I'm going to go ahead and kill this and start up my other images that I need for my demo. So we'll go ahead and site upgraded. I apologize, there's just no other way of doing this. And we wouldn't have time to let the actual upgrade process complete. So I showed you, wanted to show you what the process looked like, and then we'll go ahead and I've got the images with the site that's already upgraded. And we'll finish off the rest of the demo and the discussion off those images. So I want my site server, and I'll take my Windows 7 client. And let's get the site server running as well. And we'll go back to PowerPoint. Okay. All right. So again, the upgrade process is going to take you a minimum of a half an hour. Probably figure it's going to be an hour to an hour and a half for your site to upgrade, depending upon how large you are. If you are in a hierarchy, which hopefully you guys are not, but if you are in a hierarchy, you always have to start at the top at your CAS, work your way down to your level of primary sites, and then work your way down to your secondary sites. ConfigMan 2012 R2 absolutely supports a mixed hierarchy, being your CAS can be R2, you can have primary sites at R2 and SP1, you could have secondary sites that are R2, SP1. No support for anything less than SP1, but you can't have that interoperability scenario because you can't necessarily upgrade everybody at the same time. And realistically, you can't at the same time because you always have to start at the top and you're doing site by site. Anyway, so once you got your upgrade done and the setup program's completed, you got all those actions show as in progress that went from in progress to completed, you can now go ahead and do your verification that the site upgraded successfully. Even though the setup program told you it did, there still may have been some issues. So here's some things to check for. First off, verify that your Configuration Manager console will start and connect your database. I've experienced it myself, where after my upgrade, I tried to launch the console, and the console would start, but it wouldn't be able to connect to the database. And the reason for that, in my experience, has been because the console never got upgraded to R2. So the console was still an SP1 console, and an SP1 console can't connect to an R2 site. Your console version has to be the same version as your site version. And the reason the upgrade didn't work was what's called a race condition. We install the console through Windows Installer. Windows Installer only allows one action at a time. And what happened in my scenario was that my site was upgrading the management point, which is through Windows Installer and MSI. At the same time, it was trying to uninstall the old version, the SP1 version of the console. And that's done through Windows Installer. So it couldn't uninstall the console because it was installing the management point. So, and because it couldn't uninstall the SP1 console, it couldn't install the R2 console. So a very simple process there for me to fix was just to go in there and uninstall the SP1 console, manually install the R2 console, and bingo, I could connect up to my site. And I'll show you how to do that as soon as I get to the next demo. Look at your system and site status, so your site and component status, to verify there's no unexpected issues. Now, you should expect to see warnings, maybe even errors, in some of your components related to your upgrade timing. because you're in the process of installing some components, reinstalling some components, other components are working, and they can't communicate with things that are being uninstalled or reinstalled. So it's not uncommon for you to see some issues. But I'll talk about how you go do that verification. Verify you can run reports. I have seen it where Report Viewer doesn't get run on an upgrade. And because Report Viewer doesn't get upgraded or run, you can't launch a report from the console. When you try and launch a report, it gives you an error, nothing displays at all. No error message. Just a blank Report Viewer. So nothing shows up at all. And I talked to the developers about it when I saw that, and they said, we've only seen it, you're twice, I was second time. MSIT saw it one time, and they couldn't reproduce it. So they don't really know why. They expected it was another race condition, but it's an executable as opposed to an MSI, so weren't really sure on that. But it's not a common thing. So you do those verification things, then because of that console issue, you have to go out there and manually upgrade any consoles that you have. So you go ahead and do your manual upgrade process, probably using software distribution to do that. Remote consoles are not upgraded automatically for you. You will have to manage that on your own. Okay, let's kick back over into our demo environment. And primary site, I thought I told that to start. Apparently I did not click the button to start it. My domain controller, I will go ahead and connect to my domain controller. And domain controller. Let's go log into our domain controller. And we'll just verify that our domain controller is still a Service Pack 1 client. So we'll go to Control Panel, System and Security, Configuration Manager, and you'll see that it is build 7804, which is the SP1 version. My site server, let's go ahead and log into him, Cyrus and Demo Administrator. Go to full screen mode, and let's load zoom it so I can zoom in for you. Let's go ahead and do this first to get to zoom it. I don't have it on the drive, so let's go ahead and load my ISO for it. There we are. All right, so we're going to verify the console starts. So we'll go ahead and launch the Configuration Manager console. It says new, so it obviously is a new install. And console is loading. It connects up, so we should be in good shape there. Let's go verify our site version, so go to the administration workspace. I can already tell this is an R2 version because it's got the cloud services node that was not there in the SP1 version. So that tells me it's an R2 version already, because there's nothing past R2 yet. But if I go to Site Configuration, Sites, here's my build number down at the bottom. It's 7958, which is the build number for R2. So this is my R2 version of the site. So my console starts, and it connects. But just to show you what would happen if it didn't, where you would go look is go to the root of drive C, and you would go to your Config Manager Setup log file. Oops, and this is the rollover log file. Just so you can see, yesterday it was 5:55 when setup completed. And let's go to the previous log file and load it in Notepad. And here 5:56, or 5:46, I'm sorry. 5:46 is when core setup completed. So it took another 9 minutes before my actual upgrade of all my components completed. And you can see here, it says monitoring Site Component Manager, monitoring SMS Executive. So it tells me that it was Database Notification Monitor. So it was monitoring and updating additional components after the fact. Anyway, where you would have that admin console issue is right here. Your log file says that your console is installed. So it has to uninstall the existing console first. So it has to deinstall the existing console. It says it completed successfully. In that scenario with that race condition, it would have said the Configuration Manager console could not be uninstalled, and then it would say could not install the new version of the console. So if you were to see that in your log file, all you would have to do is then go to your installation directory. So drive C in my case, you guys know you don't install Config Manager in drive C, but I'm in a single drive VM, so drive C, Configuration Manager, and then go to the Tools folder and go to Console Setup. And here you see Console Setup and admin console.msi. So here's that MSI that's going to get run that couldn't get run because the other one couldn't be uninstalled. But if you have to install your console manually, don't run that MSI. Instead, run the executable. So run console setup.exe, it checks for prerequisites, it checks for requirements, and then it goes ahead and calls the MSI as necessary. So run console setup.exe to install your console. Okay, so we got installed, our console works. Next thing is you go to monitoring, you go to system status, go verify your site status. My site status all looks good. Everything's all okay. Go to component status. And here's where you would expect to find some issues. I'm going to go ahead and add a couple additional columns on here. I'm going to add in errors. And I'm going to add in warnings. And I'm going to collapse this just a little bit more for real estate purposes so I can see better. All right. So now if I go on status, you can see that I have nothing that lists any kind of errors here for status. If I go sort on errors, nothing. If I sort on warnings, I got nothing. So mine upgraded clean. But you should expect to see that you'll find some components where you might have some warnings in there. And what you should do there, and I'll go ahead and take software metering processor. Let's go show its messages. Go show all messages. I'll say in the last 2 days. And here's the messages you want to be interested in looking at. 10, 17, 18, and 19. So these components, these messages right here, are all saying that Site Component Manager detected this component has to be reinstalled. It's reinstalling this component, and it successfully reinstalled those components, or this component. So if you see warnings or errors for some component that's in this time frame, this time frame here is 5:47 yesterday, then you know that's why you had that error or that warning, because it was during that upgrade process. So if you do that, then what I would recommend doing is I would take that component, whatever it is, and I'll take software metering processor even though I don't have any issues. I would do a right click, say reset counts, and I would just go ahead and do reset count of all. What that's going to do is going to zero out these two numbers off to the right-hand side, these errors and warnings. It's going to change them from whatever the number is, drop them down to a zero. It will then also change your status and your icon so it looks like the okay and good icon. Then, if that really is a problem, it's going to come back. Config Manager is very, very good at recreating issues. So if it really is a problem with the software metering processor, that process is going to get recurred, and you're going to see that same error message. That will just help weed out those things that were just related to the upgrade process. So that's a good thing you can do. The reset counts is not instantaneous. It takes it a moment to process the database, then you refresh, and then the numbers will change, and your icon will change. Okay, so the next thing I said to do is go run a report. And I'm going to go ahead and run a report, count, and we'll just do a search. Count of Configuration Manager clients by version. We'll run that report. And if report viewer didn't get run, this dialog would have not appeared. It would just been nothing happened when it told to run. So if this dialog box appears, this window appears, report viewers as called, then I know that report viewer got upgraded. But if I tell it to run a report and nothing happens at all, that means report viewer didn't work. And very simple fix for you, just go back to that same location where the admin console was installed or the files were dropped down to, and just run report viewer.exe. So just run that one executable there. It takes 30 seconds to install. Go back there and you can run your reports all you want to. So very simple thing to do. Now here's my report. It says I have, in this case, I have two clients that are running Service Pack 1, and I have one client that's running R2. I have not done any client upgrades. I upgraded the site yesterday while sitting at Schiphol Airport, and I'd not touch it until I booted it up here. If I go click on this, however, the client that got upgraded is primary. Primary is my management point. Because we upgraded the site, it upgrades all site components, including the management point. The management point is now R2. Well, my site server is a client. I can't have an SP1 client sitting on top of an R2 management point. So it had to upgrade the client automatically. So it did upgrade my management point's client automatically, but all other clients would not do an automatic upgrade of. So that's the next thing on my scenario. The other thing on that slide was upgrading your consoles remotely. So here's console setup. What I would do is I'd take console setup and admin console.exe or MSI. I would package them up, send them out to your remote console computers as an application or a package, whichever one you want, and do your deployment upgrade of your consoles through software distribution. That's a nice, easy way of doing so. All right, so we verified our site upgrading successfully. Now, we have clients. You just saw in the report, 2/3 of my clients are still running on SP1. Now, you guys have many more than 3 clients in your environment to upgrade, and you want to get all those clients get upgraded as soon as possible. There's no timetable on when you have to get your clients upgraded. You can take your time. An SP1 client is absolutely fully supported talking to an R2 site. That SP1 client will not gain any advantage or gain any functionality that's in R2, it'll be treated as an SP1 client. So it won't get any of the R2 benefits until you upgrade the client. But you don't have to do so right away. You will want to get there just so you can take advantage of some of those features like bug fixes and so on. So you can upgrade your clients however you want to upgrade. The product group doesn't care. If you want to do pushes, great, do pushes. If you want logon script, if you want the group policy, if you want the client deployment through WSUS, so the software-based client-based install, you can do that. Software distribution is great. Software distribution is the most popular method of upgrading clients traditionally because you get to control when things happen through your advertisement or now deployment with ConfigMan 2012. So you're controlling the targeting as well as when that kicks off. Now, one of the great ways of doing this upgrade now with the ConfigMan 2012 SP1 and R2 product is the automatic client upgrade feature, which I'm going to demonstrate for you. It's an absolutely fantastic way of upgrading clients. It removes all of your efforts that you have to go through of creating a package and program that I'll also demonstrate for you. So that's my recommendation on how to upgrade clients is now is the automatic client upgrade feature. And I'll go ahead and demonstrate that for you. And of course, I have the report listed down at the bottom. Count of Configuration Manager clients by client version is a report you want to run to track this process. And I believe I forgot to start my clients. Let's go ahead and start that virtual machine. All right, so numerous different ways. Again, however you like to upgrade clients, install or upgrade clients, feel free to do so. The product group doesn't care. I don't care personally. I have my preference, but do it however you want to do so. Again, here historically, the most popular method is software distribution. So you would go to software library, application management, you go to packages, you get the 2 built-in packages for OSD purposes. You go to create, package from definition. You would take, you notice there's 2 different client upgrade packages. One was from the SP1 side, one is from the R2 upgrade. So just do the exact same, but just it says client just version. So just go ahead and take the newer one. Always obtain files from a source directory. That source directory is on your site server. It's your site server computer name, primary, and then the share is SMS underscore your site code. In my case, it's MCM. And then go to client. So your site server computer name, the share is SMS underscore MCM, and the folder is client. If you browse there, you'll see the I386 and X64 directories, which are for all your client components. So that's your source directory. So go ahead and specify that. Let it create this package, and notice it creates 1 program. Now, I would modify a couple of things here personally. to me, these top two packages look almost identical. So if you look at those names, Configuration Manager, Client, one says Package, one says Upgrade. So I would just change the package name on this guy. So I go to Properties and maybe say something like Wally's Configuration Manager, Client, Upgrade. Something like that. Make the names stand out from each other. Then notice this one has a program for it. So if we go down to the Programs tab, see it has one program. Let's go to its Properties. And we tell you here, and again, I say we being I'm not at Microsoft anymore, so I'm not we. But they tell you to refer to your product documentation to see what command line you should use here. There's a built-in command line of CCM setup slash no service. No service says stay in the context of the logged on user. Don't switch over to local service account. And that SMS site code equals auto. I would change that. At minimum, you should take out auto and put in your site code. If you're a standalone primary site, you're fine using auto. If you're in a hierarchy, however, auto is a really bad thing to use. What the reason being is, let's say my laptop was, when I was at Microsoft, my laptop was a Configuration Manager client. It was managed by our site in Redmond. And I would travel all around the world doing presentations at conferences and so on. And let's say I was sitting here in Basel, and Configuration Manager team at Microsoft, they decided to upgrade their site to a new build. My client needs to be upgraded. I get the deployment while I'm sitting here. And it says do an upgrade and check SMS site code equals auto. It's going to go out there and try and determine what site I should belong to based on my current location. And let's say they happen to have a ConfigMan site here at Microsoft. And it would say, oh, you're in the boundaries of that Microsoft site over there. So it changed my site code to BAS or SWCHF or whatever it is. I would change my site code to where I currently am residing as opposed to where I really should be managed from. And I don't want my site being managed over here just because I'm here for a conference. I want my site to always be managed by the Microsoft site there. So designate the site code you want your client installed to and assigned to. Now, if this was me personally, what I would do, I would back out all this stuff, and my command line would be CCM setup. That's all I'd have. No command line switches. Whenever you run CCM setup without any command line switches, it always goes to Active Directory to see how to install the client. And what it's going to do for that, so if I go ahead and click OK here, it's going to go to my administration workspace. It's going to go to my site, settings, client install settings, client push installation, which I'm not using right now. And it's going to go to the installation properties, and it's going to use whatever is published in Active Directory, which came from here. SMS site code equals my local site code, MCM. And, by the way, use that fallback status point called primary to report on your status of the client upgrade process. So whenever you run CCM setup from any method, command prompt, WSUS, from a push prompt process, or from a software distribution process, it goes to Active Directory to read what your parameters should be. That will get you consistency in your client installs. That's how I would do it if I was going to do software distribution. Now, if we're going to complete that scenario, I would go here, and I would then distribute my content, because the content needs to be on a distribution point before it's applicable. And then now I got my content on my DP, and now I go ahead and do my deployment. So I deploy this software out to my collection of clients. And my content's already on my distribution point. You would, for this, you'd make it required. You'd make this a required deployment that would happen at midnight tonight or whatever appropriate time frame for you. I'll just go ahead and say it's an available, just so I can show you. And then you designate the requirement, give it a schedule on when you want this deployment to happen. And it takes the defaults for everything else. And bingo, you got software distribution happening. And it'll kick off at whatever your time was you specified in your deployment. Now, how I would really upgrade clients if it was my site is I'd go back to the administration workspace, and I'd use this new automatic client upgrade feature. I go to my site, under site configuration, click my site. I go to the hierarchy settings up on the ribbon, take that action. And I would go to the automatic client upgrade tab. So here's the tab, and you notice there's a feature here called automatic client upgrade that is not enabled by default. So this is not enabled, so it's not going to do anything. when ConfigMan, or back in the old days, SMS, SMS 1 and SMS 2 had automatic client upgrades. And every time your site got upgraded, your clients would upgrade automatically. But you guys, maybe not you guys specifically, but customers killed us because of the fact that we caused an upgrade of all their clients basically at 8 a.m. the next morning. And that your IT departments didn't like that, or your network guys didn't like that, having 10,000 clients all upgrading at 8:05 in the morning. So we took that away and put the burden on you guys to do your upgrades whenever you wanted to through software distribution. Well, now we've got it back and even better. So now you click the upgrade task. It tells you, hey, you're going to upgrade all clients in your hierarchy. Do you understand that? And we lie and we say, yes, we do understand that. Then what you're going to do is designate in what's your deadline for having all your clients upgraded. And it defaults to 7 days. Now I'm going to go ahead and take 7 days. I'll come right back in here. I'm going to click OK so it gets the process going. So now this says automatically upgrade all my clients within 7 days. What this is going to do, it's going to create a policy for all systems. So it creates a policy to all systems. It's only going to affect your clients, so the configuration manager clients that are Windows-based clients, not mobile devices, not Linux, Unix, not Macs, just your Windows XP, which nobody should be bearing XP anymore, up through Windows 8.1, Windows Server 2012 R2, those type of platforms. So you're going to automatically upgrade them at some random time in the next 7 days. Your client chooses that random time. So since we're almost out of time here, let's go ahead and show you what that looks like. I'm going to go ahead and pull policies, and the automatic client the feature hasn't kicked in yet. It takes 10 minutes before I could use that. So I'm going to go ahead and do the manual method. Pulling policies instead of the admin console initiated. And this one already is upgraded, but I'm going to go ahead and kick off this process anyway for you. So that's my site server. This is the Windows 7 client. Let's log him in. And let's tell him to retrieve policies. And you see he's SP1 yet. And let's go to our domain controller as well, because we had a third computer in there, domain controller. And he again was SP1. So if this policy thing is working correctly, what should happen is it's going to go ahead and from the automatic client upgrade thing, it's going to go ahead and download to our local client cache. There you see the balloon. This is for the software distribution deployment. That's not the one I want to do, however. I'm going to go ahead on this guy. I've got a folder here, one, and in that folder, it's downloading right now. And should see CCM setup here pop in here momentarily. Our cache content is only going to be CCM setup. If you want to see Open Software Center, this is the software distribution upgrade process. So the software distribution upgrade process, I can kick him off if I want to and click off the install option. I want to do this guy through the automatic client upgrade feature. And maybe I got that policy too quickly. Let's go ahead and pull policies again because actions. It takes it a moment for that policy. Oops, there, CCM setup just came in. Just got downloaded. Okay, so how this gets implemented on your client is through a scheduled task. So if I go to Control Panel, and go to System and Security, Schedule Task. Go to Task Schedule Library, go to Microsoft, go to Configuration Manager, and I got three tasks in here. The top one is Configuration Manager Client Upgrade Task. If I scroll off to the right, next runtime, I didn't load Zoom it, it's 9:23. So it randomly chose a date and time 6 days from now, 11:21 a.m. is what this client chose to do its upgrade. It is 6 days from now. So sometime in the next 7 days, so each client randomly picks that time for their upgrade process. So this guy chose 9:23. I'm going to go ahead and force this guy to run its task right now instead of waiting. And now what we'll do is we'll see Task Manager is running. And in Task Manager, we see CCM setup. So kicked off that client upgrade process. I just invoked it manually as opposed to waiting for it. If we go to our Windows 7 client, let's see if he got the automated thing or not. There's CCM cache, there's CCM setup. So now if I go to control panel on this guy, let's check and see what he picked for his random time. The other one was 9:23. We tested this out at Microsoft IT for 20,000 clients and gave it a 30-day time period, and the chart was pretty well, you know, there were little peaks and valleys, but for the most part, it's pretty consistent on what it picked out. This guy picked 9:18, so pick tomorrow. So pick tomorrow at 8:47 a.m. I'm not going to kick this guy off this one. I'm going to go ahead and use, I'll do this one through software distribution just to show you that, Open Software Center. And again, this would be a required deployment, so it would have happened automatically at night. I'm just going to kick it off manually, so you see it downloading and installing. Now, my site server, remember my site server automatically did get upgraded. However, I want to go ahead and show you that same process here. So if I go to Schedule Tasks, and we should have a fourth task in here, Configuration Manager Client Upgrade Process. And he actually picked 9:23 as well, so 1:45 p.m. So whenever I've done this demonstration a number of different times, I've had it pick an hour from where my time I had. I've had it pick 7 days and 20 hours later on. So it really does vary in there. But it helps, the client is randomizing its time, so it should help spread the load across your network. Now, this client already is upgraded. So what happens is when I do the run on this guy, it goes ahead and runs CCM setup that lasts for just a moment, and all it does is just check to see, oh, CCM setup is version 7958, R2. Is my current version of a client R2? And it's going to go ahead and say, yes, I am. It's going to bail out after it verifies that. The task is now done. If I go here and hit refresh, it tells me the task no longer exists. So once it runs this task, whether it has to do an upgrade or not, in my case it didn't have to, it goes ahead and clears that task out as a scheduled task. And it will go ahead and then go ahead and report in. Okay, I'm out of time. I'm actually over a couple minutes. So I won't have time to demonstrate this. But lastly is once you get your clients all upgraded, the next thing I would do is my cumulative upgrade. So the R2 release has had two CUs so far, CU1 and CU2. They are cumulative. So if you've not applied any cumulative updates, you don't have to apply CU1 before you apply CU2. CU2 includes all that was in CU1. But I would go ahead and there's the KB article, 2970177 for it. Download it and apply it. You install it on your site server. Console has to be shut down. It reinstalls some stuff on your site server. It upgrades your console. It upgrades your database. It creates packages and programs for you to deploy to remote consoles as well as to your clients. Then just use software distribution to go ahead and deploy the CU out to your clients. The automatic client upgrade feature does not work for cumulative updates. It's only for major releases, service packs and R releases. It doesn't work for the cumulative update releases. That's something we want to change in the future, we being Microsoft, but it's not been implemented yet. Alternately, the last bullet, you can also use System Center Updates Publisher. So it does have an option to create a SCUP catalog item for you, and you can then publish that through Config Manager into WSUS, into your software updates process, and upgrade your clients through the standard software update technology if you wish to. All right, so I don't have time to show you that. We can talk about it afterwards if you want to. So summary, upgrading your site is not a hard process. It just takes a little bit of time. Start at the top, work your way down, upgrade your site, verify your components all got upgraded, verify your console got upgraded, verify your reports will run, no unexpected errors in any of your components in your system, upgrade your remote consoles, upgrade your clients. I would highly recommend the automatic client upgrade feature. It works great. And use that process. So go ahead and get that done, get up to the current version. It's not a hard thing to do, and it will help you guys out a lot in the future. So with that, I'm out of time, so go ahead and do your feedback stuff. I'll be out at the experts area shortly, and then I've got another session in there like at 4:30 today. Nico and I are over there for the Ask the Experts. But thank you all for attending, and hopefully you had a great time, and have a great rest of your week.